excuse me, we are on air right now for our Fan for Racing radio show. It is our season finale for our championship NASCAR race review and Hot Topics sound-off. This is Monday night, November the 7th, and joining me for tonight's show is our co-host, Sal Sagala. Welcome to the show, Sal.
Oh, thank you, Sharon.
Okay. Tonight we're going to start with our short track news, and then we'll review the ARCA Menards Series West Championship race out at Phoenix Raceway. Then we'll have, at 9 o'clock, we have the media interview with the NASCAR Truck Series champion, Zane Smith. He's the driver of the number 38 Front Row Motorsports Ford. And afterward, we'll review that NASCAR Truck Series Championship race out at Phoenix. At 9:30, we'll get into the NASCAR Xfinity and the Cup Series Championship races out at Phoenix. And our Hot Topic sound-off will start at the top of our second, at the top of the second hour. So that will be at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And I think it's just going to be Jay and I tonight, Sal, if you want to stay on for Hot Topic Sound Off. I know you've got a lot of things going on right now.
Oh, I just, you know what, I just got home. I've been on the road since 4 o'clock this morning. I had to drive to Phoenix and back for work.
Oh, my gosh.
That's 11 hours on this. Yeah, so I didn't think I was going to make it. Good thing Sandy woke me up because I got home like 20 minutes ago and I laid down and she goes, yeah, you need to get up. I was like, I'm not getting up. I said, I'm done. I said,
Well, I'm glad you did get up.
I started for this show. If she wouldn't have been here, I wouldn't have gotten up. Like I said, I started at 4 this morning.
Well, tell Sandy thank you.
She said to give you her Venmo.
Okay, well, Sal, let's go ahead and get into our short track racing news for this week. A lot of racing took place, we know, with the NASCAR Cup Series, Xfinity and Truck Series, as well as the ARCA West Series, but they weren't the only people racing this weekend. So there was the North-South Shootout. Matt Hirschman picked up his eighth win in 19 starts in that historic race, so a big win for him. Out at the North-South Shootout. North-South Shootout. That's hard to say real fast.
Yeah, say it four times.
I don't think it's going to happen. And then, what did you watch any other racing this weekend, or were you out of Phoenix? So.
No, I wasn't out of Phoenix. I was out at, where was I at? Oh, we had our 4-year high school reunion Saturday.
Oh.
So I, yeah, that's right. So, yeah. So I didn't do anything. Didn't
well,
watch
so...
racing all weekend. I was able to watch
well,
racing
finally.
That was
a good race.
Yeah,
ends the Cars LMCS Tour season with a victory out at Caraway Speedway. And then the Tour Champion, Ultimate, he held off Connor Hall for that victory. But the Tour Champion is Carson Quappel.
Yeah, you know, I see Carson. He was at the All-American 400 the week before. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, though. It was because I was only there for the one day. But he was he's been real busy doing the, you know, all the short track racing.
And winning quite a few of the races that he enters. So that's
yeah.
Pretty cool. Also, inside the, well, let's see, that's a lot of the coverage over at Racing America is all about what happened in NASCAR. but there's a lot of other races too. Bubba Pollard, over at Flow Racing, he is giving a tour of Sonoya Raceway. So that's kind of cool to see him doing that. That's in Georgia. And they're preparing for the Pete State Classic as part of the Castrol Flow Racing Night in America. So it's about a 9-minute tour that Bubba Pollard gives over there. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. I didn't even see that. Flow Racing?
Yeah. It's at Flow Racing, yes. And I thought fans would be interested in seeing that. Also, they're saying more than 40 drivers are expected for the Short Track Super Series Cajun Swing. That was announced 10 hours ago. So that's one of the big headlines over there. Also, Brady Bacon took 20 grand, and Justin Grant grabs the USAC Sprint title. So big news on the USAC Sprint title front.
Yeah, that's a lot. Oh, yeah, that was over here. That was for the Oval Nationals. We just had that this past weekend. Or actually, it's running, ran last weekend. It's a big thing, the Oval Nationals. It runs for, I think, 3 days. I try to go to it. I got some friends that go to it. But I don't know why these past 2 years it's run the same weekend as Phoenix. But, the Oval Nationals, it's not as big as Knoxville or the other one that Tony runs over at his track. The Oval Nationals has been running, gosh, they're probably on their, I don't know how many years they've been, 32, it should say right there, Brady Bacon, Oval Nationals. Doesn't say how many years, but I know they've been running for a long time now.
Okay, well, there's also the Streetcar Super Nationals out at Las Vegas. It says big tire and small tire door slammers alike are returning to Sin City for the Streetcar Super Nationals in the Las Vegas Throwdown Race November 17th through the 20th. So heads up on that race that's coming up as well.
Yeah, that's an NHRA type event, and actually I'm surprised that Tim doesn't do more advertising, but we have something like that over here at Irwindale too, with our that goes along with our our street legal kind of like our street legal thing, but we have the big tire, small tire. It's crazy. It's the tires they use on the tires that they put on the cars, for the drag racing.
Okay. Well, another thing to kind of keep in mind, let's see here. We've got racing is not over. There's more racing coming up this weekend. In fact, there's a race going on right now out in Austin, Texas, and you can watch it live if you are a subscriber. But there's some other races that are coming up over the weekend. The Cajun Swing that we talked about at Rocket Raceway Park in Petty, Texas. Also on the 9th, there's they'll be racing out at that same location. Also on the 10th. And then there's also the Saloon Series at Greenstone Park in Greymouth, West Coast, the Greenstone Park Speedway. So another race that fans can take part in at Flow Racing. And if you go to November 11th, there's a whole bunch
ahead.
Of them.
Yeah, there's still some good racing coming up. Of course, everybody's waiting for the um, for the for for the Derby, you know, that's going to be coming up in
December 1st.
The first weekend of December.
Yeah, actually, it starts on Thursday, December the 1st. And actually, Sal, are you going to that this year?
Yeah.
Okay, because here's the thing. I was hoping we could do a review of that Snowball Derby on Monday or Tuesday afterwards and do the one-off show in December for that Snowball Derby and Snowflake 100 review. It starts the weekend of December the 1st, so it would be, I believe it would end up being like December the 5th or the 6th.
You know what, I can't do it that day because I'll be in the air.
What about the 8th?
I don't know, Sharon. I hate to commit.
Well, just kind of keep it in mind,
yeah. And
we can talk more offline, but just something to think about, because we were trying to do maybe one show in December to kind of close out the year with that last show. And I might do the same in January before we get started full gear again going into the 2023 season. So just a heads up there. We'll try to make some announcements. Okay. So there's a lot of racing over the weekend at Flow Racing and also at Racing America. I really encourage fans to check out both of those websites because they really keep you up to date with what's going on in the short track racing world. And if you're looking for a race to watch during this off season for NASCAR, those are the places that you go to kind of get that racing fix. As Sal mentioned, the Snowball Derby that's coming up, that race is huge, and we usually get some people from NASCAR that take part in that race.
Yeah, it's going to be the you go to Five Flags website. Yeah, and they already have a preliminary list. There's a few drivers that they haven't mentioned on there, but I talked to Noah. Noah Gregson will be going to the Derby this year, and so will Josh Berry will be in a Jet motorsports car racing with Steven Nassi will be his teammate, and also Corey Heim is also making the trip out there that he's not on the list yet.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool. So there you are, some NASCAR drivers that will be taking part in the Snowball Derby, and that includes the Snowflake 100. Is Derek going back this year?
Oh yeah, Derek's already signed up. He's ready to go.
Awesome. This big race that brings in drivers from all over the country and from all different venues of racing. They all want to take part in the Snowball Derby. So keep your eyes out for more news on that front. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move over to the ARCA Menards Series West, the final series to close out their season. Sammy Smith wins the race, but it's Jake Drew that wins the championship for the 2022 season out at Phoenix Raceway. Big night for both of those gentlemen.
Yeah, it was. Jake's was already sealed, but the race with Sammy Smith was that was even a race. That was a butt whooping.
Sammy pretty much dominated.
Even after a penalty, he came back and just put a whooping on him. I mean, it was sad. It was sad to see it. I mean, It was awesome.
Well, to see the domination of one driver, yeah, it makes it hard to watch the race. But it was a big night for Bob and Maureen Brancati. This was their final race, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, oh yeah, it was their final race. Tim Tuttle's just taking over the team.
Oh, he's going to take over the team. What's it, what are they calling it? It's going to be High Point.
Yeah, it'll be High Point.
Okay, so we'll watch for that for next season. Tim Huddleston taking over the team that has been run by Bob and Maureen Brancati for, oh, I don't even know how many years. It's got to be at least
18.
25. 15?
No, it's 18. 18.
Oh, 18. 18 years
yeah.
that they've been in the K&N Pro Series and now the Arca Menards Series West. And to get that championship in their final year was really cool to see. And I know Jake Drew knew from the very beginning that he wanted to be the guy that brought home that trophy for Bob and Maureen Brancati.
Well, the first year that Bob started Sun Rides for it, he won the championship that year. And then he closed out his last year, also winning a championship. So he started as a champion and went out as a champion.
That's awesome. That is really
cool.
Yeah,
he won the championship. I'm pretty sure it was with Jason Bowles, because we won the championship with. And then he went out with Jake Drew as a champion.
And in between there, how many championships did Derek Thorne bring to that team?
Two. Derek brought two.
Yeah, so he's had some really good drivers racing with him over the years. And it was a bittersweet day knowing that that would be their last race.
Oh, yeah, it was really neat to see it was really neat to see the, the whatchamacallit that they did for him, the tribute, you know,
mm-hmm.
the little tribute thing they put up for him and stuff like that, and you know, it's neat to see all that. So.
Absolutely. The other thing that it was a last for is Sammy Smith, the race winner, races at Kyle Busch Motorsports under the Joe Gibbs Racing banner, and it's the last time that Kyle Busch Motorsports is going to be able to run under that team.
Yeah, exactly.
So a couple of things there that were the last for both the race winner as well as the championship driver with both of those situations. So really, really interesting, and they've contributed, both of those organizations have contributed so much within the Arca Menards Series as well as, you know, Kyle Busch Motorsports is also involved with the Truck Series and NASCAR. And it's a changing of the guard taking place here.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. You know, it's it's going to be interesting to see what happens next year. You know, another one you got to look out for is going to be David Gilliland Racing, because they'll be the new they're going from Ford to Toyota, and actually they're taking over where Kyle was the developmental team for Toyota. David
mm-hmm.
Gilliland will be the. He's getting all the full support from Toyota next year. So he's switching from Ford to Toyota.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go ahead and cover the top 10 finishers out there at Phoenix. Sammy Smith, as we mentioned, pretty much dominated the race. The margin of victory was 0.866. between him and last year's champion, Jesse Love. And then Andres Perez de Lara came in third. Landon Pembleton finished fourth. Todd Souza rounds out the top five. And the next five drivers were Landon Lewis, Bradley Erickson, Parker Chase, Jake Finch, and Tanner Reif all round out the top 10 drivers for that race out at Phoenix.
Yeah, it was a crazy race. A lot of cautions, which Phoenix always has a lot of cautions for their racing because, you know, these are all developmental drivers, you know. A lot of them fly over half the field and never even raced on Phoenix, and a lot of them wanted to go out there and give it a shot, you know, see what it was like. So,
well, they certainly found out. Let's go ahead and cover.
Oh, yeah.
Even though we know Jake Drew is the champion, how did the others fare?
Jake Drew is the champion. Tanner Reif ended up finishing second, so they took the first two spots in the standings. Tanner Reif also got Rookie of the Year. And then Cole Moore finished third, Tatsusa fifth, Joe East fifth, and Takuma Koga finished sixth. That was his highest finish ever
in
the standings. And then Bridget Burgess was seventh, Landon Lewis was eighth, Andrew Tuttle was ninth, and Paul Petrocelli Jr. and rounded off the top 10.
Yeah, those last three drivers did not race the all 11 races. Paul Petrocelli Jr. actually only raced 7, Andrew Tuttle 9, and Landon Lewis 8. Everybody else raced all 11 races. So
Landon Lewis took over. He took over the 16 car for Austin Herzog, started in the 16 car, ran three races, and then Landon Lewis took over the rest of the season for him.
Okay. So it's bittersweet to see them end out the season for the Arca Menards series as well as the series for all the NASCAR series. We'll be on break now until the middle of February. But if you want to see a replay, there is a tape delay of the ARCA West Championship race out of Phoenix Raceway. Will be played this Friday, November the 11th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I always encourage everybody to check your local listings to make sure you've got the right time for your area for that tape delay on USA.
Yes, you definitely want to see the last race of the season and see the domination by Sammy Smith and that guy had nobody had nothing for him. He passed like 14 cars in two laps on the last restart or something like that. Yeah, it was insane the way
he had a very fast car.
It was crazy.
And we should note, too, that Sammy Smith won the ARCA East Championship. He was also the Sioux Chief Showdown Champion. So two titles for Sammy Smith in addition to winning that season finale in the West Series. So a really big year for him as well. Just to give a few stats here, Jake Drew, his season was pretty phenomenal. In 11 races, he had 10 top 10s, 9 top 5s, and 4 wins. That includes 4 pole awards. He led, I'm trying to see, is that the most laps? I think he led the most laps. Not by much, but he does have the most laps completed, I should say, which is 1,331. And the most laps led at 378. His average start was at 4.5. His average finish, though, was at 3.6 in those 11 races. So pretty impressive stats for Jake Drew.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. When you look up and down at the field, you know, that he raced against technically only 7 drivers because all the other ones didn't race the whole season. So it was a small field of you know, of regular cars that, you know, that completed the whole season this year.
Yeah, and I'm looking down here at Sammy Smith's stats. He had two races in the ARCA West this season. He did race in all three of the ARCA Menards series. But in the West, he had two races, and in those two races, he had the one win. He had two top fives and two top tens. And he had an average start of one with an average finish of two. So really impressive stats for those two races that he was in the ARCA West.
Yeah, it was.
Just amazing. And to race across all three of the ARCA Menards series was pretty impressive as well. It's hard to do all of those races because sometimes there's conflicting dates, and I know we've had a couple times this season where the West and the East were racing on the same date, or the West and the ARCA Menards series were racing on the same date. But it's really good to see Takuma Koga have a really good season as well. You mentioned him earlier, and this is the best season for him in the time that we've been watching.
Yeah, he's been around a long time. He made his 100th start this year at over in Las Vegas. He made his 100th start in the series. There's only been two drivers that have made 100 starts. One of them was Todd Souza, and the other one is Takuma Koga.
Yeah, and to, you know, to think he comes from Japan every time they race in order to race here in the U.S. So it's really amazing. He goes above and beyond what a lot of drivers would do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He makes it's a long haul for him.
It definitely is. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and set up our next segment here because coming up, we do have the post-race media interview with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion, and that is Zane Smith. He's the driver of the number 38 Front Row Motorsports Ford. And after coming in second 2 years in a row, he finally, on his third attempt, made it into the championship title. So really happy for Zane Smith to finally get that trophy.
Oh, yeah. It was a hard-fought battle. And you know what? It was a long, long time coming. And like you said, you know, he finally got the win that's been eluding him.
He certainly did.
The championship.
Ben Rhodes tried to contest there, but he just couldn't do it. He didn't seem to have the truck that could really compete with Zane Smith's truck. And I am going to go ahead and play that audio now. The audio is actually 14 minutes, a little more than 14 minutes long. We're only going to play about 7 or 8 minutes of it. And then Sal and I will talk about our thoughts after we play that 7 or 8 minutes of his interview. Okay, let's go ahead and go here.
Right to questions. I know there will be several. Start up here with Jerry. Jerry Jordan, same. Were you just not going to be denied? I mean, another runner-up finish probably in the apoplectic after that. So were you just not going to be denied there at the end?
Yeah, I knew our night had gone too smooth at times, and we struggled bad on pit road, and I went from dominating the race. I craziest finish I've ever been a part of, and obviously the biggest win I've ever had.
Sal, you might want to mute your sign because we're having a hard time hearing here.
And we were Racing America. First of all, the four-wide move you found yourself in, four-wide bottom, was there ever a doubt that that was going to work out in your favor?
I have no idea when that was. Was that with, like, five to go, or how many was that to go?
That was the...
10 to go. Oh, man. Yeah, a lot happened that I don't even know. I know. I think I was underneath Chandler at that time, and we were adoring each other, and we were nose-to-nose, and both of us obviously weren't going to lift. And I have said it in a few other interviews, but I just want to give a shout-out to the other three. We had every opportunity to wreck each other, and we battled hard, hit each other, but didn't wreck each other, and we were fighting for a championship. So a lot of respect goes out to them, and I don't know if it was an exciting finish, but I had a heart attack at the line.
To that point, with Ben behind you, like he drove you pretty hard, but he didn't wreck you. How nervous were you going into that final corner, knowing that Ben was going to take some kind of shot?
Yeah, pretty nervous. I guess I talked to my spotter. He said that he was on my bumper from the time I turned off the wall. But I really didn't feel him until about center of the corner. And I started getting really loose. And I was so worried he was going to... It was an Xfinity finish from last year, do-over. And I got really loose and then really tight. And then I heard the screaming of my spotter, which I knew we had it. And I'm just now getting my voice back.
Go upstairs for a question.
Chris, I guess I'm talking on Zane. I was just wondering if you had a chance to speak to Bob Jenkins yet, and if you did, what that conversation was like.
I have not. Unfortunately, Bob isn't here tonight. But I can assure you I probably have a phone call from him. I haven't been able to check my phone. It's been the busiest Victory Lane celebration I've ever been a part of. So... it's been so cool to celebrate with family, friends, just on the West Coast in general. And, yeah, I mean, I just truly can't believe the night we've had.
John Field, the racing expert, a year ago, you had the runner-up finish in the championship. Your future is kind of up in the air. How is it now sitting there, the champion, bright future ahead?
Yeah, definitely a lot has changed. I have literally stood in this parking lot 3 years in a row, not knowing what I'm going to be doing next year. And I knew going into this, because I've been through way worse times, and regardless of the outcome tonight, I'm going to have a job next year. And that's such a weight off your shoulders. And so with him giving me that confidence, I wanted to reward him to take championship. And I feel like that's why I don't want to say I raced so much harder, but I just couldn't lose another one. It just wasn't an option. And so, just crazy where I'm at mentally and how great things are going in my life right now. And so I'm just trying to ride it as long as I can.
Right, Zach.
Zach Sterniola with NASCAR.com. Zane, congratulations. You talked about that mentality. Is there one moment you can kind of pinpoint as a turning point for you? Obviously, I know there was the heartbreak of finishing second the last couple of years, but getting behind the wheel of this 38 truck, is there one thing that you noticed think differently for you this year? Is there a moment that stands out?
I mean, probably just overall, like, team morale. Like, I had a great relationship with my past team at GMS, but I don't want to call them old, but it was an older group, and the group that I have now is just younger, and I feel like we weren't always hanging out at the shop. We were also hanging out outside of work, and so I just think that goes a really long way, and me and Chris Lawson have a really good relationship, and he's a past racer of himself, and we click right away, and then my engineer, Dylan Capello, we grew up racing together since I was about 12 years old, and he's from out here, and we spend every Monday. Sunday together in Sim, and it's just that same deal as he's a pass racer himself and still races some when he can, but I just feel like the communication is there a lot quicker than most.
Here to Bob.
Fox Sports. Does a driver who wants to be in the Cup Series and wants to win races in the Cup Series have to win races like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I've literally watched it. I went from my very first year in truck to winning a couple races in my rookie season and getting possibly an opportunity at a Cup car, and I thought that was crazy. And then last year, I felt like we were really fast, but struggled bad on execution. I felt like everything happened to us that year, and we still were able to advance into the Final Four with winning at Martinsville. But I feel like this year, winning at Daytona and then a few more wins right after that, and then how the format is now, it's like if you get into the Final Four, we all have the same mentality of, man, this is a championship of our own, and whoever's the best of us four is the champion. And so it's just really hard to get here in the first place, and then to execute on this day is to a whole other level, and I don't think we could execute it any better.
Okay, Sal. I had to hold it really close. The sound was as high as I could go, but it was still very light. I hope you could hear the interview.
You know, Sharon, I heard it was real spotty. I couldn't hear the question they're asking. I heard some of the answers, but it was
okay.
It was really light. I just said,
yeah, I apologize to everybody for that. When I checked it earlier, it sounded like I had good sound, but for some reason tonight, I couldn't get it up higher than what it was. It was already at the top level, and I couldn't get it any higher. So, I did like some of his comments about, going into the race, how he didn't have the pressure of not knowing where he was going to be for the next season. He knew where he was going to be for next season, and that took a lot of weight off of his shoulders. And then, how difficult it is to get there, number one, and then to race that final race and know that you've got to be the best and do the best you possibly can do in order to win.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that last year. I think when we talked about Zane, that's the thing, that he made it a point, to let everybody know that he didn't know where he was gonna end up this year,
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he ended up, with the championship. That was good for him. Dylan Capello is a racer from out here. He talked about his car chief, Dylan. Actually, Dylan will be racing the Snowflake 100.
Oh, okay.
I'm hoping we get a chance to see that Zane will, come out here, and support him. Get a chance to see Zane out here at the Derby this year, but Dylan was the one that was in the pictures that didn't have a shirt. He's got a regular shirt on. So if you ever go back and wonder who Dylan is, that's who Dylan
Capello
is.
Also, he talked about what a good relationship him and Chris Lawson have, and that he really appreciates that Chris is also a racer, and they kind of talk the same language.
Yeah, and we've had Chris on the show before. Chris Lawson was Todd Gilliland's crew chief throughout all the years that they had out there, and when he was with BMR winning those championships.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had Chris Lawson on the show a couple times. He's a really good guy and a really good crew chief. It was good to see Zane and you know, him get together, you know, and be able to, you know, bring this championship, you know, back, you know, for Zane to get that, you know, to get that opportunity.
Absolutely. I was real happy for Zane Smith. You know, we followed him in when he was in Canon Pro Series. He's from the West Coast, and I'm sure you know that, and has really done quite well for himself. I'm real proud of Zane.
Yeah, you know, his dad actually works for Riley Herbst's dad, Troy, shop over here in Huntington Beach. Yeah. Yeah, his dad, Mike. I've talked to Spent some time with Mike, with Zane's dad, and Zane's been around a long time, put his time in, you know what, and it was a well-deserved championship for him, you know, to see him, you know, finally getting, you know, after, like you said, you know, after being the bridesmaid for 2 years, you know, then finally
uh-huh.
you know, get his chance, and you know, it was a good dominating win. Sure, he said he thought, you know, for a while there, you know, in the last stage, you know, when he fell kind of back. You know, but I mean, his team stepped up and, you know, kept him in the game all night. You know, and of course, you know, Zane came out on top and, you know, ended up, you know, bringing the championship home.
Absolutely. Well, I've got a few stats here that I want to share, too. Zane Smith has won his first Camping World Truck Series championship. He's the 20th different driver to win a Truck Series championship. He also won the season finale race out at Phoenix Raceway in order to win that title. He finished the 2022 season with 23 starts, 4 wins, 14 top fives, and 19 top tens. And during the season, he posted 1 win, 5 top fives, and 6 top tens. You mentioned that Zane is from Huntington Beach, California. He's the 5th different Camping World Truck Series champion from the state of California. He joins Mike Skinner, who is the 95 Series champion, Ron Hornaday Jr., who won the championship in 96, 98, 2007, and again in 2009, Matt Crafton, who won in 2013, 14, and 19, and Sheldon Creed, who won the championship in 2020. So that was really cool to see as well, that he joins a list of notable people from that California state.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people don't realize how many champions, you know, we've had to come out of, you know, California. You know, I mean, even when you go to the other series, you know, you talk about Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, Kevin Harvick, you know, just to name a few, you know, that have, you know, that are champions, you know, from out here in the, you know, that are from out here from California, you know, that are past champions.
Absolutely. Also, the owner, Bob Jenkins, he said he hadn't talked to him yet when he had that interview, but he was sure he had a phone call from him. It was the first series owner's title for that team as well at Front Row Motorsports. And that team is the 15th different organization to win a Truck Series Driver Championship and the 17th different organization to win the Owner's Championship. Front Row Motorsports posted 5 Truck Series wins among 2 drivers, Todd Gilliland with 1 win and Zane Smith with the 4 wins. And in 2020, Front Row Motorsports made its Camping World Truck Series debut with Todd Gilliland in the number 38 at Daytona International Speedway. So some additional stats there from an organization and team owner perspective.
Yeah, he had a good solid season. The whole Truck Series was was very competitive this year. You know, we talked about it. You know, each
uh-huh.
time we would get to it. You know, and I thought Ben Rhodes looked like he was going to be the champion. You know, he really gave it a heck of a run. Ty Majeski was looking good for a while there too, but then I think the inexperience took over when he spun and hit the wall.
Yeah, you know, you're getting a little bit ahead of us right now, Sal.
Yeah.
we're keeping it focused on Zane right now. But this is Chris Lawson's first career championship as well. His previous best championship finish before this season was seventh, and that was with Todd Gilliland last season. He became the 24th different crew chief to win in the Truck Series Championship, and Lawson has five career Truck Series victories with those two different drivers. Again, Todd Gilliland with one and Zane Smith with four wins. So just a couple of other additional facts there with regard to his crew chief.
Yeah, he was. It was a good dominating season for the whole team. You know, involved. You know, you got to take your hats off to them. You know, they performed when they needed to, and you know, I'm sure you know that they're. I know Zane's going to be relishing that moment for the whole off season.
Absolutely, as he should. It was his seventh victory in 69 Camping World Truck Series races, his fourth victory and 19th top 10 finish in 2022, and his first victory and third top 10 finish in three races at Phoenix. Ben Rhodes, you mentioned him. He came in second. He posted his fifth top 10 finish in eight races at Phoenix and his 13th top 10 finish this year. And I agree with you. For a second there, I thought Ben might pull off two in a row. Chandler Smith came in third, posting his fourth top 10 finish in four races at Phoenix. Corey Heim finished seventh. He was the highest finishing rookie. Zane Smith won the 2022 Truck Series Championship. Corey Heim won the Sunoco Rookie of the Year Award, and Toyota won the Camping World Truck Series Manufacturers Championship. So really amazing. I want to kind of go over the rest of the top 10 here for that race. But before I do that, Smith dominated the race. He led 77 of 154 laps, sweeping both opening stages. A pit stop under yellow with 14 laps remaining saw Smith lose eight spots on pit road. Meanwhile, Ben Rhodes took two tires and gained track position. Another yellow flag on lap 148 of the scheduled 150 laps allowed the 38, Zane Smith, another shot. Rhodes led at the time, but teammate Ty Majeski spun while attempting a move on Zane Smith, and the spin brought out a yellow and eliminated Majeski's title hopes. The field saw the overtime restart with Rhodes leading over Smith. And Smith, it was the 18th of Chandler Smith and the 38 of Zane Smith. And the three battled to the checkered flag with the 38 beating the 99 of Rhodes to the line by just 0.236 seconds. John Hunter Nemechek, Stuart Friesen, Grant Infinger, Corey Heim, Tanner Gray, Caden Honeycutt, and Carson Hocevar rounded out the top 10. There were 15 lead changes among seven drivers and seven cautions for 41 yellow flag laps. The average speed of the race, 89.003 miles per hour. Now we can get into your thoughts about the top 10 there. So,
you know, and also, you know, you got to give an honorable mention to Brandon McReynolds, because Brandon McReynolds started his management team this season. And he has Noah Gregson and also had Zane Smith on the as two of his clients. So this was a big win for Brad McReynolds too for his management team. I know don't think anything was said about that, but I know Brandon was in the back. Yeah, he was in the back, probably celebrating with them after. But
exactly.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. It's kind of neat to see it.
Okay. Was there anything more you wanted to say about the competition there?
No, that was basically about it. You know what? It was a good run race. You know what? Zane did what he had to do. You know when he needed to do it. You know to get the you know to grab the not so much a victory. Well, it's a victory, but mostly, you know, the championship, which is what he was, you know, which is the focus of all of them.
Absolutely. And you know, what one of the things that was kind of amazing this year is even though we saw some good racing throughout the race, Zane Smith, we're going to talk about Ty Gibbs in a little bit, and also Joey Logano, all three champions this year, pretty much dominated their races for the most part.
Yeah, they... You know, and once again, the trucks, I think, was a more of an exciting race. The Xfinity and the Cup was that. Oh my gosh, I feel bad for the. I have a friend that went. He's a big race fan, and he said, "Man, he goes. I could not believe how boring the Cup and the Xfinity race was." He said, "But
well,
the truck race was really good." He goes,
"Pretty much dominated the race." Smith dominated the race, but he won both of the stages and won the race. But he had some competition. I mean, some of these guys, Ben Rhodes had the lead for a little bit. There were several different drivers that were in the lead at one point or another.
Yeah,
there were 50 lead changes among just 7 drivers. So he wasn't the only driver who led, for sure.
Oh no! He wasn't the only one. It was like I said. It was a good run by Zane. You know, and he kept his composure when he needed to. You know what? And you know, got the, you know, ended up with the win and the you know, got to take home the big trophy.
Absolutely. Do you want to go over the top 10 points, guys?
Yeah, let me see where we're at here. I was working on some things. Here we go. Truck Series driver points. Of course, Zane Smith was our champion. Ben Rhodes finished second. Chandler Smith third. And Ty Majeski ended up in fourth. You know,
look how close it was, Sal. It was amazingly close.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, as far as the points were. And then, you know, then we go down and John Hunter Nemechek,
Ben
who looked
was
like
just
he was
5 points out. Chandler was just 6 points out. So incredibly close there.
Well, it's because of where they finished in the race, too.
You know,
that's why they were that close. And it looked like for a while John Hunter Nemechek was going to get the win. John, he was looking strong there at the beginning of the race, and actually John is the non-point, the non-chase. He ended up winning he was the highest finisher for the non-chase, finishing in the fifth position. And then sixth was Stuart Friesen, seventh was Grant Infinger, eighth Christian Eckes, ninth was Matt Crafton, and finishing in a 10th spot was Carson Hocevar.
Yeah. So everybody thought coming into this that it was going to be John Hunter Nemechek going after that championship, and it just seems to elude him every year.
Yeah, you know, I thought at the beginning of the season he was my pick, to finally, you know, get his championship, you know, and it never panned out like that. So I think what I'm going to do this next season coming up is the guy that I pick at first, I'm going to pick him, and then I'm going to pick someone later on. Because like everybody that I pick at the beginning, something happens that they don't end up coming through for me. So I'm going to change my strategy this year.
Okay.
So the guy that I really want to win, I'm not going to pick. I'm going to wait till towards the end of the season, I'll pick him, and then hopefully he'll be the one that'll win the championship.
Be able to get that championship.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. It really was an amazing race, and again, I'm just so proud of all of these drivers. All of these races were really clean races as well, Sal, and the same was true there in the Truck Series. They raced each other with respect, and it was a very clean finish for everybody.
Oh yeah, it was. They really put on a really great show for the fans. I mean, the fans can't, you know, they all race with respect. You know what? The non-chase drivers gave them the room that they needed. To let them decide, you know, who's going to be the champion. You know, and not let them come in the way of being a spoiler.
Exactly. What did you think of the news about Kyle Busch Motorsports announcing that they'll have two full-time teams in the Craftsman's Truck Series next year, with Chase Purdy is going to compete for the championship in the number four as part of a multi-year deal, and Jack Wood is going to compete in a minimum of 10 races alongside KBM owner Kyle Busch and other later-to-be-announced Cup and Xfinity Series drivers as part of the team's owner championship effort in the number 51 Chevrolet.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, what can you say?
Well, they also formed an alliance, a technical alliance, to support Rev Racing's expansion into the Truck Series, because that was an announcement this week as well, that Rev Racing is coming into the Truck Series this year with that alliance with KBM. They'll also bring Nick Sanchez into the Truck Series driving the number two Chevrolet.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was pretty good. You know, going back to the Chase Purdy and the Jack Wood, you know, I guess there's nobody left for Kyle to develop. And I mean, I've known Jack Wood for years. He used to race out here in the K&N. He used to race in the K&N West Series out here before he started racing trucks. This
mm-hmm.
year, it's going to be, unless he has someone else on the horizon, Kyle Busch, you know, he might have someone else he hasn't announced yet, you know, for the third truck. But
not for the third truck, for the 51 truck, because Jack Wood is signed for 10 races. Kyle Busch will run some of the other remaining races, along with a later-to-be-announced Cup Series and Xfinity Series drivers that will be competing for the team's owner's championship in that number 51 Chevrolet.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, to see Rev Racing finally, you know, get out of the, out of the RPE Series, you know, coming to the trucks, you know what, I think that's going to be neat to see that. You know, to see that come
too.
To come into play. I think that's going to be really, really, really neat.
Well, especially with partnership with Kyle Busch Motorsports. Kyle Busch is such a good mentor. We've seen him mentor a lot of different drivers, and I think it's going to be a good partnership there with Rev Racing.
Oh yeah, I think it is too. I think it's going to be exciting to see, you know, what happens, you know, with the, you know, what's going to happen next year, you know, when they, you know, when finally everybody gets together, you know, and they start, you know, putting the teams together and see how everything pans out, especially when Daytona comes around.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on now to the Xfinity Series Championship race. Ty Gibbs is the champion there in the number 54 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota Supra. He won his first Xfinity Series Championship. His previous best finish in the series final championship standings was 13th just last year. Gibbs is the 32nd different driver to win the Xfinity Championship. He won the season finale at Phoenix Raceway again to claim that title, and he made 33 starts this season, posting 7 wins, 16 top fives, and 23 top tens. in the playoffs this season. He posted 2 wins, 6 top 5s and 7 top 10s. And from Charlotte, he's become the 8th Xfinity Series driver from the state of North Carolina, joining Daniel Hemric, who is the 2021 champion from Kannapolis, North Carolina, William Byron, the 2017 champion from Charlotte, North Carolina, Austin Dillon from Welcome, North Carolina, won the championship in 13, Brian Vickers from Thomasville, North Carolina, in 2003, Dale Earnhardt Jr., 98, 99, also from Kannapolis, North Carolina, Jack Ingram, in 85, 82 from Asheville, North Carolina, and Sam Ard in 83 and 84, also, actually, he's from Asheboro, North Carolina. So, joining some pretty elite company there.
Yeah, it was a very good run race. You know what? There was a lot of close calls, but you know what, Ty Gibbs, kept his composure, you know what, and you know, had the fastest car, and you know, and he earned that win here in the championship, you know.
He definitely did. For driver owner championship, Joe Gibbs and Joe Gibbs Racing, it was his 4th Xfinity Series driver championship. Kyle Busch in 2009, Daniel Suarez in 19, Daniel Hemric in 21, and Ty Gibbs in 22. The 3rd most all-time in the series. It was his 6th Xfinity Series owner championship. He also won in 2008, 9, 10, 12, 16, and 22, which ties Team Penske, who won in 13, 14, 15, 17, 20, and 21 for the series' most owner titles all time in the Xfinity Series at 6 each. Joe Gibbs Racing is one of 19 different organizations to win the Xfinity Series Driver Championship and one of 18 different organizations to win the Owners Championship. Joe Gibbs Racing has posted 193 Xfinity Series wins among 20 different drivers, including Eric Almirola, Bobby Labonte, Brandon Jones, Christopher Bell, Daniel Suarez, Denny Hamlin, Elliott Sadler, Eric Jones, Harrison Burton, Joey Logano, John Hunter Nemechek, Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth, Mike Bliss, Mike McLaughlin, Ryan Preece, Sam Hornish Jr., Tony Stewart, Ty Gibbs, and Daniel Hemric. Joe Gibbs Racing began its Xfinity Series program in 1997 at Rockingham Speedway with NASCAR Hall of Famer Bobby Labonte. So a big accomplishment for Joe Gibbs as well.
Oh yeah, it was huge for them. You know what? And you know, they join a elite class. You know what? I think, wasn't this Ty's rookie year too, or I'm not too sure if it was or if that's what it was.
I'm not sure either. So what was your question?
If this was Ty's rookie year.
Oh, I'm not sure, but he would definitely be the rookie of the year if he is.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, he dominated that. Dominated the race, did what he had to do to win.
And it was clean.
And kept it, all of them kept it clean.
Yep.
All the drivers.
Yeah, they
clean.
Definitely,
you know,
did. Chris Gayle's crew chief. It was his first career championship in the Xfinity Series. His previous best finish in the championship standings was 3rd. That was with Elliott Sadler in 2014. Gayle is also the 30th different crew chief to win an Xfinity Series championship. And he's won 37 Xfinity Series races with 8 different drivers, Elliott Sadler, Kyle Busch, Eric Jones, Denny Hamlin, Sam Hornish Jr., Christopher Bell, Ty Gibbs, and John Hunter Nemechek. So some really good stats there for the crew chief as well.
Oh, yeah. They had a good solid, you know, rounded year, you know, with him. And, you know, to be the half man to win, you know, over the 3 men, according to Noah Gragson, you know, it was, I'll tell you, he put on a little bit of a clinic there. You know, and even his post race, you know, conference, you know, when he talked, you know, he was really humble. You know, he didn't, you know, get all cocky and all that. You know, he was really humble. You know, the way he spoke about the, you know, the race, the championship. You know, and you know, everybody knows a kid messed up. You know, but I mean, you know, you got to give him a chance to redeem himself. You know, and
yep. Exactly,
you know,
right.
It's going to take a while, you know, and he did it so far. He's done everything right, you know what, he celebrated right, you know what, and, you know, and he did everything he had to do, you know, said the right things, you know, thanked all the people that were with him, you know what, and, you know, and it was really neat to see, you know, to see that out of him, but it was more neat to see all four of them race each other hard, but race each other clean. I mean, they did do some rubbing, they did some banging. But you know, all in all, you know what? They didn't try to dump each other, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they they all said, if we win, we want to win because you know we raced clean. We don't want to win because we raced dirty.
Exactly right. For Ty Gibbs, it was his 11th victory in 51 Xfinity Series starts, his 7th victory and 23rd top 10 finish of the season, and his 1st victory and 3rd top 10 finish in 3 races at Phoenix. Noah Gregson finished 2nd, posting his 5th top 10 finish in 8 races at Phoenix, and his 26th top 10 finish this season. Justin Allgaier finished 3rd, posting his 17th top 10 finish in 25 starts at Phoenix. Sheldon Creed was 6th. He was the highest finishing rookie of the race. So there you go. I guess Ty is not a rookie this season. Creed was the highest finishing rookie. Ty Gibbs won the championship, of course. Chevrolet won the manufacturer's championship. 1 week after igniting a maelstrom of controversy for his brutish tactics at Martinsville, Ty Gibbs held off a charging Noah Gregson to win the championship race at Phoenix. Leading a race-high 125 laps, Ty Gibbs won the championship by virtue of his win, and it was his 7th win this season. He ends the year with consecutive victories. Noah Gregson came in 2nd, less than 4/10 of a second behind Gibbs. Justin Allgaier, as we mentioned, finished 3rd. Then it was Landon Campbell. A.J. Allmendinger round out the top 5, followed by Sheldon Creed, Riley Earps, Daniel Hemric, Austin Hill, and Sammy Smith rounding out the top 10. Again, Gibbs won both stages, giving him 10 stage wins for the season. There were 15 lead changes among 5 drivers and 8 cautions for 48 yellow flag laps. The average speed of the race, 91.174. And your thoughts about those top 10 finishers, Jay? Sal?
You know, I think Sheldon Creed could have finished better than 6th, but I know late in the last stage, he seen the leaders coming and he kind of moved up the track a little bit, and I think that's where he lost all that track position. But had it been a regular race, you know, not a championship race, I think Sheldon would have had a lot better finish than what he did. And I know they even mentioned some, you know, that Creed, you know, gave Noah and gave Ty Gibbs, you know, a lot of room. You know, he moved way up the track, you know, to let them, you know, go ahead and battle it out. You know, Justin Allgaier, you know, gosh, you know, I was kind of pulling for Justin, you know, to kind of be the spoiler in this whole thing. You know, I really like Justin. I like the way he approached the, you know, the championship. You know, he was quiet, didn't say much. You know, just, you know, ran his basic, you know, commitments to the media and just take care of business and stay quiet and stay really professional about it. Felt bad for Josh Berry. Josh Berry had issues on pit lane. Josh Berry just had, he was a hot mess the whole day, you know. So, I mean, there was times, you know, when he looked strong, but, you know, he just could never, you know, it's hard to come back from stuff like that. You know, for something like that, you know, and then, you know, to see Riley, you know, finish in the top 10 again, you know, he's looking really good. You know, we haven't heard nothing where he's going to end up next year, if he's going to still end up, you know, with Stewart Haas Racing. But I'll tell you, Justin Allgaier was kind of my silent pick to win the whole thing this year.
Yeah, I think he was a good one to pick. And I think Riley Herbst, I hope he does come back with Stewart House Racing next season. I think he's going to be a strong contender. But I want to make sure we hit the point here for the Xfinity Series, too, before we move on to the Cup.
Okay, the driver points are, we know Ty Gibbs won the championship. Noah Gregson finished second. Justin Allgaier finished third, Josh Berry fourth, and then from there, then we went down to fifth to A.J. Allmendinger. Sixth was Austin Hill. Seventh was Sam Mayer. Eighth was Brandon Jones. Ninth was Daniel Hamrick. And Riley Herbst finished in the top ten, so he rounded out the top ten. And then you have to give an honorable mention to Ryan Sieg. Finished in 11th, you know, it's one of the smaller teams, you know, not one of the big money players out there. And
and right behind him is Jeremy Clements, another smaller team.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jeremy Clements, who also had a win this year.
Mm-hmm.
Also had a
win.
So really cool
to see how that all played out.
Yeah, and actually Austin Hill ended up with the two wins. Austin Hill automatically ended up with the Rookie of the Year. He finished up in the sixth spot, but there's going to be a lot to talk about during the off season with Ty Gibbs and Noah moving into the Cup Series next season. You know.
They haven't officially announced Ty Gibbs yet, but a lot of people are expecting that to happen. So we have to wait and see what happens.
They kind of leaked it during the show, broadcast. They kind of stepped on their toes about it, but you know, to see Josh Berry come back, you know, with Junior Motorsports next year, you know, that's going to be huge for him. You know, other than that, nobody's announced. We don't even know where Sheldon Creed's going to end up. You know, nobody's announced anything except for we know that Josh Berry's coming back to Junior Motorsports next year.
Well, we'll look forward to some off-season news, and hopefully we can talk about all of that early in December when we come out back with our one-off show during that first early part of November. Let's go ahead and move on to the Cup Series. Joey Logano was your series champion, driving the number 22 Ford Mustang. He became the 17th different driver to win multiple championships and just the second driver to win multiple titles in 2018 and then again this year, joining two-time series champion Kyle Busch, who won the championship in 2015 and 19. Logano won the season finale. All three drivers won their races to claim their titles, and Logano finished the 22 season with 4 wins, 11 top fives, and 17 top tens. He said, with this being the year of 2022, it just stands to reason that the number 22 car would win. During the playoffs this season, Logano produced 2 wins, 4 top fives, and 5 top tens. Joey Logano is from Middletown, Connecticut, and is the first and only driver from the state of Connecticut to win the NASCAR Cup Series Championship in 2018 and 22. So some thoughts there real quick.
Yeah, he dominated the race, ran a good race, you know what, and he was my pick from, you know, when the chase started. He was one of my drivers, and as it continued in, I just had a feeling that Joey was going to be, he was going to be the driver to beat. He just was really focused this year. He had a good solid season, you know what, and it was good to see him, you know, to see him come out on top the way he did.
Yes, indeed. Now, the owner champion, Roger Penske from Team Penske, it was Team Penske's third Cup Series driver championship. They won with Brad Keselowski in 2012, and then the two championships for Joey Logano in 18 and 22. That's the sixth most all-time in the series. It's also Team Penske's third Owners Championship. Again, they won with Brad Keselowski in 2012, and then the two championships for Joey Logano in 18 and 22. That's tied with Herb Thomas for sixth most of all time in the series, and Team Penske's ninth National Series Owner Championship, three cup in 22, 18, and 20, six Xfinity in 21, 20, 17, 15, 14, and 13. That's tied with Petty Enterprises with nine for the fourth most of all time. And Team Penske has led 10 different drivers to victory lane for a total of 135 Cup Series wins. Mark Donahue, Bobby Allison, Rusty Wallace, Jeremy Mayfield, Ryan Newman, Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, and Austin Cindric. Excuse me. Team Penske started their Cup Series program in 1972, making their series debut at Riverside International Raceway with driver Mark Donahue. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, it was Matt. There's a lot of stats, a lot of history, and a lot of and it was a lot of. Oh, and then you forgot to mention, too, that this is the first year ever that the same team owner won the IndyCar Championship and the NASCAR Cup Championship.
Very cool.
He won the IndyCar Championship this year, and he also got the Cup Championship, so that even added more to the, to Joey Logano winning the, to winning not only the race but the championship.
Absolutely. And then Paul Wolf, what a crew chief. Paul won his second Cup Series championship with Brad Keselowski in 2012 and Joey Logano this year. He's one of 44 different NASCAR Cup Series crew chiefs to win a championship and the 16th to win multiple Cup Series titles. Wolf also became the fifth different crew chief in the Cup Series to win titles with multiple drivers, joining crew chief Spud Moore, who won with Buck Baker in 57 and Joe Weatherly in 62 and 63. Carl Kickenhofer with Tim Flock in 55 and Buck Baker in 56. Dale Inman with Richard Petty in 64, 67, 71, 72, 74, 75, and 79. And Terry Labonte in 84. And Tim Brewer winning with Cale Yarborough in 78 and Darrell Waltrip in 81. Wolf has 37 Cup Series wins. 29 of those wins came with Brad Keselowski and 8 with Joey Logano.
Wow. That's a heck of a class to be involved with.
It truly is. So really, really elite company there. As far as the race itself for the 35th annual Cup Series Championship race, it was Joey Logano's 31st victory in 507 Cup Series starts, his 4th and 17th top 10 finish, 4th victory and 17th top 10 finish in 22, his 3rd victory and 16th top 10 finish in 28 races at Phoenix. Ryan Blaney finished 2nd. I thought Ryan might come up with the win there, but he didn't. It was his 9th top 10 finish in 14 races at Phoenix and his 17th top 10 finish this year. Ross Chastain finished 3rd, posting his 2nd top 10 finish in 9 races at Phoenix. Austin Cindric was the highest finishing rookie. He finished in 11th place. Joey Logano won the championship and hit for his 2nd title. Austin Cindric won the Sunoco Rookie of the Year honors, and Chevrolet won the Cup Series Manufacturers Championship.
Pretty awesome stats there. You know, when you think about, all the top four, you really had to feel bad for Ross Chastain. I mean, he made a run at it, but
oh my God, he just needed time.
And Chris Bell, his pit stops just totally
ruined his day.
His pit stops, his pit stops ruined, just totally ruined his day. I mean, that JGR team just couldn't, you know, and you kind of think, you know what, if maybe it was just the weight of, you know, hearing, you know, like Coy Gibson just died that morning, you know, if that might have had a, you know, little effect on the, you know, on the way the team performed. They might have been trying to push a little too hard to try and get that win, you know, and when you push too hard, you know, that's when you make mistakes.
That's true, and I do want to give our condolences, Sal, to the Gibbs family on their loss, their sudden loss of Coy Gibbs. There was such a big surprise to hear that, and I know the whole NASCAR community is surrounding that family with lots of love and condolences for their loss, and we certainly are praying for the family as well.
Yeah, it was sad, you know, to see, what had happened, you know, and you know, to hear what happened, you know, especially, you know, after, you know, celebrating, you know, the championship, you know, gosh, it was just devastating news, you know, and you know, to think, you know, that this is his second son he's lost. He's had two sons.
I know.
Made it past the age of 49. They both died, you know, before their 50th birthday.
I know. It really, I'm sure it's a difficult time for the family. And, you know, there's nothing worse than having something like that happen. And to happen so suddenly, I don't think there was any indication that there were any problems there. So it really came as quite a shock.
Yeah, it did. It came as a shock to everybody, you know, the whole NASCAR community, you know, and, you know, like you said, you know, thoughts and prayers, you know, out to the, you know, Gibbs family, to the organization, you know, as they, you know.
Yes.
You know, as they mourn the loss, it's Matt Philpott, who does the tires for Derek in the for the Snowball Derby. He's the guy that works on Chris Bell's team, and he posted, you know, how, you know, what the mood was like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going into the race on Sunday, you know, knowing, you know, that they had just lost, you know, their basically their
general leader. Matt,
you know, the guy, the leader, the
yeah.
one that calls all the shots.
Yep. I don't want to run out of time here, so I'm going to go ahead and move on. But I agree with everything that you said there, Sal. Logano dominated at Phoenix for his second Cup title. It was the perfect ending to a season that Logano started with a win, dominating the action at the race at Phoenix. But he also won the Clash at the Coliseum. So he won the first and the last races of the season. He started on the pole. He won the first stage and led a race high 187 laps. He won the race and claimed his second championship, as we've mentioned. It was, again, the second championship to win. That was the fourth of the year, the third at Phoenix, and the 31st of his career. Blaney finished second, followed by Chastain, Chase Briscoe, Kevin Harvick, William Byron, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, and Christopher Bell. Logano started from the pole, dominating much of the race. He took the lead from Briscoe with 29 laps remaining and held off Blaney for a win of by 0.3 seconds. Elliott spun into the inside wall on lap 200 after contact with Chastain, and he was not competitive after that. He ended up finishing 28th, two laps down. Stage one again was won by Logano. Stage two by Blaney. There were 11 lead changes among six drivers and six cautions for 39 yellow flag laps. The average speed of the race was 104.757 miles per hour. Your thoughts about the top 10 finishers?
Yeah, the top 10, like we said, you know, we had, you know, spoke about him, you know, and you know, I know Kyle wanted the win really bad, you know, because this was his the last time he's going to see the M&Ms,
yeah,
you know, on his car, you know, and it was neat to see his paint scheme, you know, with all the names, you know, all over the car the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chase Briscoe to see, you know, go out, you know, the way he did, you know, finishing fourth for actually Chase Briscoe and Kevin Harvick, you know, to give Stewart Haas Racing, you know, that kick that they need, you know, going into next
yeah.
year. You know, Kyle Larson, you know, continues to, gosh, don't know what happened to him this year, you know, after he dropped out of Chase. You know, that's kind of, you know, at the end of him. But, you know, to see Christopher Bell, you know, still get that 10th place finish, you know, after all the problems he had, you know, you kind of think if he wouldn't have had those pit issues, you know, how much more of a threat could have he has possibly been, you know, to Joey Logano's run for the championship.
Yes. I'm going to have to switch out my phone. So while I do that, Sal, why don't you go ahead and cover the points report.
Okay. And then the points at the end of the season, our points were, as everybody knows, Joey Logano ended up with the championship. Ross Chastain finished second, Christopher Bell third, and Chase Elliott finished fourth. And then from there, Denny Hamlin, who was the regular season champion, ends up to be the non-points champion too, finishing fifth. William Byron, who stayed strong throughout the whole season, finished sixth. Kyle Larson dropped to seventh. Ryan Blaney in eighth. Chase Briscoe ninth, and Daniel Suarez the top 10. Gosh, Daniel Suarez just really, really had a really superb season this year.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see how well he does next year. I'm sure he's gonna be a solid threat next year. Austin Dillon finished
11th. I'm really
11th.
Impressed
They'll
with Trackhouse Racing in general.
Oh, yeah. They did a really good job this year. And then Austin Dillon finished 11th. He'll have Kyle Busch next year as his teammate. So we're going to see how the RCR stable, how they respond to the challenge next year. But, yeah, like you said, Trackhouse Racing with Daniel Suarez, they really stepped up their game, and you know, Daniel Suarez, you know, did make the chase. You know, he went out early, but you know, he still got the 10th place finish. And you know, HMS continue to flex their muscle. You know, with Chase Elliott finishing fourth, Byron sixth, and Larson seventh, and then of course Bowman is 16th, but Bowman did miss five races because of a concussion.
Right.
You know, but they all went down with they all had at least one win on the season, you know, in the organization, which is really big for them. Yeah, oh yeah, it was
good
really
news.
Good news for Hendrick.
Yes, and so they've got a lot to look forward to next season as well. It's going to be very, very good to watch racing again next season. And then they gave us kind of the state of the business conference with Steve Phelps and Steve O'Donnell at Phoenix as well. And they're very optimistic about everything that's going on in NASCAR. They feel that communications have improved between them and the drivers. And they're going to continue to make some changes with the next-gen car for the 2023 season. And then they're saying the 2024 schedule is going to have some big changes for that 2024 season. So I can't wait to find out how that's going to shape up for not this year, this coming year, but for the following year of 2024.
Well, we already know one big change is going to come. And that's going to be Auto Club won't be a two-mile track. It'll be a half-mile track. So that's going to be one of the
big
changes.
Also,
that we'll be
Chicago's
talking about.
Going to be a street race.
Yeah. Yeah, they're bringing Chicago back as a different
venue.
A different playing field, yeah.
Yeah, so are you going to be at a racetrack this weekend, Sal?
Yeah, this weekend, SRL Series, we have our championship race.
Oh,
so we'll
good.
be – we'll be crowning three champions. We already have the champion, and the modifieds has already been decided. So we got a champion in the pro late and super late models that are going to be battling it out for a championship.
Who are your picks? Who's going to do it?
You know, I like Jacob Gomes a lot, but it seems like Jeremy Dawson just has a boatload of steam behind him right now. And as far as the prolates, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Dylan Zappa that will end up with the championship. But the superlates is the one that's going to be it's going to be tough because, like I said, Jacob is just Jacob's good at Irwindale, and so is Jeremy. But I think Jeremy has a little bit more momentum on his side. So
okay.
We'll just see what happens.
Yes, indeed. I'll be sure to look that up. Sal, it's been a great year again, as always, and I definitely have enjoyed the season with you, and I'll look forward to the 2023 season back here at Tampa Racing Radio, especially on our Monday night show with you and with Jay Huseman on our Thursday night show.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be exciting. Looking forward to it all.
Okay. Well, you take care, and we'll talk to you more about that early December show as we get closer to that time.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Good night, everybody. You guys have a good show, and we'll talk to you later. Have a good off season, and stay safe.
Okay. You too, Sal. Bye-bye. All right. It is time for us to get into our NASCAR Hot Topic sound off, and joining me for that part of our show here tonight is Jay Huseman. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Well, thank you, Sharon. Again, it's a little sad to be here on the final one of the year, or possibly the final one. I know we got some things we're talking about and what we might do, but wrapping up the championship weekend, that's part of it.
That is all part of it. And unfortunately, a lot of our the rest of our Fan for Racing crew were all busy tonight and not able to be here. So we're hoping that early December show we'll be able to kind of pull together more of our Fan for Racing crew here for our Hot Topic conversation. So, Jay, why don't you kick us off with our first Hot Topic here tonight?
Well, I'm sure you and Sal probably talked about it throughout the review a little bit, but just the thoughts on the three championships over the course of the weekend, and I say the three NASCAR top three series. I know the ARCA West finally crowned their champion as well on Friday night, but NASCAR's top three champions and their races.
Yeah, we did talk about it a little bit. We kind of felt like the most exciting race was probably the Truck Series race. All three of the drivers pretty much dominated their races, but it just seemed like there was a little more competition in the Truck Series race than the other two races. Ty Gibbs pretty much dominated that Xfinity Series race, and Joey Logano pretty much dominated the Cup Series race. What's really cool is that all three champions won their races to earn their titles. So I thought that was pretty cool as well, because sometimes you don't necessarily have to win the race to win the championship, but all three of those drivers did win their races. So I thought that was very cool as well. I'm real proud of all three champions. All three races were very cleanly run. There was a lot of respect for their fellow competitors, and I think in just about every case, I think that their fellow competitors were acknowledged by the champions, and there was a lot of appreciation for the clean aspect of all of those races.
Yeah, I know, and I was trying to pull up Mike's thoughts there now. I think he said best car, best team, best driver won all three. Let me find it here real quick as I let's see. Where was Mike's reply on that? Yeah, there we go. He said the best car, team, driver won all three races. The only one you can make an argument of a more deserving champion Mike, obviously, on Elliott. But he's got a point based on the regular season. What he was, aside from the win at Talladega, was kind of a no-show for the playoffs, which, you know, the broadcasters talk about it. And he likened it kind of like Kevin Harvick in 2020. Mm-hmm. You know, a strong regular season and then just didn't do it in the playoffs.
Sometimes
I
really
agree with that.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
Yeah. No, it is. I want to start, though, with the Truck Series. You mentioned it. I don't know that I can say it was the best. All four, up until the very end, were running top four, 1, 2, 3, 4. I know they're Ty Majeski, and I'm trying to think who he got into. You know, he made a move, and it just got loose inside and ended up actually spinning himself out, took himself out. But you're right. I mean, it came down to the last lap between the three competitors. So that was great. I would have liked to have seen any one of them win it. Zane Smith, I know in his pre-race interview, he said, I don't care if I got to stomp on the brakes. I'm not finishing second. He's been runner-up in the championship for 2 years.
After 2 years,
he said, if I
got to
finish third, fourth, or fifth, yeah, I'm stomping on the brakes. I am not finishing second. Well, he stomped on the gas instead, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So it was great to see. The Xfinity Series, this one I got to spend a little more time on. With Ty Gibbs winning it, and I know we'll talk about another part of that, but you're right, it was very competitive. He did dominate, but it wasn't as dominating as I want to say, think Joey Logano's was, and I'll get to that in the Cup Series. Noah Gregson was running him down in there in the end, and it could have been another lap or two. It would have been a whole different story, but they did run side by side, all of them throughout the race, and you're right, there it was competitive. I thought the ironic thing was, and I want to say it was Gregson and Allgaier between Junior. Motorsports was probably the most rubbing. I know Noah and Allgaier actually rubbed a little bit there a couple of times. So it was good to see, and I know you mentioned it, the sportsmanship. Noah Gregson did congratulate Ty Gibbs and in his post-race said, he beat us today. He did it clean. He beat us. So to see that comeback, if you will, or transition from the previous week at Martinsville to win that championship was good. And, again, I think each one of them had their shot. Now, on the Cup side, that one is a little more of a dominating win by, you mentioned, Joey Logano. I know all four were competitive, and we did have a situation there as well between Chastain and Chase Elliott. Having just watched it, I'd have to agree with the broadcasters. That was strictly a racing incident. Either one of them could have done a little bit different and been different. I wouldn't put that on either one. And Chastain, again, trying to come back at the end, come so close. But there's a lot of good things. The thing I look at when you talk about the Cup Series, mention the other four series, late the Xfinity Series as well. Late in the end, it was top four were the four championship contenders. And I think Justin Allgaier said it over his radio during the race. This is why these four are battling for the championship. They were running top four there at the end. The Cup Series, I wouldn't take that away from any of the championship contenders because although it's the elite top level, if you will, there is also that much other stronger competition that just wasn't in it. Kyle Larson still running for the owner's championship up there mixing it up. And you have other teams, Ryan Blaney, I think maybe overall had the fastest car all weekend, truthfully. I know Joey beat him at the end and did pull away, but I think he might have gotten some notes from Ryan Blaney because Ryan Blaney really had a strong car all weekend, hadn't won a race all year. So I think that's why on the Cup level you saw a little more spread out between the four championship contenders because the competition is that tough. So,
yeah.
But again, any one of the four, you make a very solid case going in as to why they should have. Comes out to that one race, and Joey did it. So congratulations to the 22 Penske Ford there.
Absolutely. I thought I agree with everything that you said there. I thought that all of the races had their element of competitive racing. I just felt like there was just a little more action, I guess, I felt, with the Truck Series. And I'm proud of all of the champions. I thought they were all very good. And I have to agree with Mike. I think the right person won in all three of those cases. Ross Chastain needed a little more time too. He was running down Ty Gibbs, but just ran out of time to be able to catch. Same thing happened with Noah Gregson in the Xfinity Series. They were there. They just had there was a distance that was created between them, and those drivers raced their hearts out to try to close that gap as best they could before the race ran out of time. But they really gave it their all, I thought, in all of those races. I thought there was a little more misfortune in the Cup Series race. We saw a little bit of misfortune in several races, but you had both Christopher Bell have that 18 or 19 second pit stop that just kind of ruined his chances, and then the situation with Chase Elliott losing his chance at competing for the championship after that contact between him and Chastain. And I agree with you. I think it was just one of those racing deals. I actually, if you look at it from certain angles, I couldn't see it in some angles, and in other angles I could see it. Almost seemed like Elliott's car was hit by the 22 before anything happened with Chastain's car. So Chastain said he thought the car acted erratically, and I think that's the reason why, is because of the contact with the 22. It caused Chase Elliott's car to come down. So I don't think that was initiated by Chastain at all. I think Chastain was just trying to react to what had happened with the contact between the 9 and the 22. But yeah, I do think it was a racing deal. I don't think anybody intended anything there. I think it was just a racing incident that happened on the track. And I think Chase knew that as well. In his post-race interviews, he didn't blame anybody. I think he understood it was just a racing incident. So, I thought the races were good all the way around. I did get a chance to watch all three of the races this weekend, and I enjoyed watching all three of the races. And then there was also the ARCA West race. I know you mentioned this was just about the top three, but Jake Drew pretty much had that championship won before the race even began. All he had to do was start that race to win the championship. But it was Sammy Smith who won that race. And Sammy did it in pretty dominating fashion, winning at Phoenix Raceway in the ARCA West Series as well. So pretty interesting scenarios all the way around, and I'm happy with the results.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see how you can't be. You mentioned it of a little more, chaos in her situation. That's where, as you were saying that, of it comes down to it's not just driver, it is team. And I'm trying to remember what Noah Gregson's, I don't want to say mistake, but holdup was that put him where he was trying to chase down. I know for Chastain and Christopher Bell, you mentioned the pit stops. So that's where it comes down to a full team situation. You know, and Joey Logano's, I think every one of them said it in pre-race, you know, it's got to be a full team effort, no mistakes on pit road, no mistakes by the pit crew, no mistakes by the driver. And that is what it came down to. Having the fast car obviously helps, but the pit crews and the team, the calls, all plays together, and Joey Logano's team put it all together there with Paul Wolf. I heard a little bit from him on SiriusXM today. So the Chastain-Elliott incident, and I know in the post-race, you know, Chase Elliott said, you know, he didn't necessarily blame Ross Chastain, although he felt he could have given him more room. There was room for Ross to go down lower. But I'm like, well, if you just want another driver to move left so you can move left, I'm like, yeah, you know, I mean. So that one, but I didn't see. I'll have to go back and watch it of what you mentioned, a bump from behind that might have initiated even Chase Elliott surging, and that's why he tried to make the move. I didn't see that, but. Certainly could have been. because it was really tight racing, especially there at Phoenix where you fan out like that. I'm surprised there weren't some more. I know we had some others between non-playoff drivers, but certainly could have been some others that didn't. I know I think it was early in the race, actually. Christopher Bell had hit the wall, too. That was another one where I said just that little bit here and there, you know, adds up, and you got to be almost perfect. You mentioned it. Every one of them. Actually, and I don't remember who tweeted it, the winning driver won the pole and won their race to win their championship. I hadn't caught on to that. I hadn't noticed that, and I know stage wins was still, although not necessary or applicable to winning the championship, you're out front. Joey Logano, I think, was second in stage two to Ryan Blaney, and as I mentioned, he had a fast car. So super excited already for next year, just with the amount of things going on. I know that was what you and Sal were kind of talking about with the schedule, but some of the team things we got going on, some other things we'll talk about here in Hot Topics. So, yes, this season is over, and we got to take a little break, but excited for next year.
Absolutely. So that I'm going to mark this one as covered for tonight. And what else are we going to talk about?
Well, we'll just go up the line here. I know you put talked a little bit there about one of the changes for next year anyway was Adam Stern on Twitter of NASCAR is pursuing a founding partner model instead of a title sponsor for the NASCAR Chicago race. So it wouldn't be one brand attached as far as a title sponsor, but looking for partners with it. And then it says, I think NASCAR wants four founding partners, cover what, roughly $2 million annually for each, including NBC ad time.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting post by Adam Stern. We talk about this quite a bit, that over time, we've seen, and you've watched this happen as well as I have over the years, how the whole sponsorship, title sponsoring has changed over the years. The days are pretty much gone of having one sponsor cover a driver or cover a series for an entire year. In the Cup Series now, I think, you know, we don't have the Sprint Cup anymore. We don't have the Nextel Cup. It is a partnership of companies that have gotten behind the Cup Series. So you've got Coca-Cola and I can't think of all of them are right now. For some reason, it's eluding me. But there, Geico is one of them. There's like five or six different partners that are behind the NASCAR Cup Series on an annual basis, and they each contribute toward that because it's just almost impossible for one company to cover the title for a series, especially at the top level of NASCAR. You still got Xfinity Series. You still got the Craftsman's Truck Series for the smaller series, but for that elite top series, it's really tough. It's the cost for the street race is just so enormous that they've got to look for multiple founders, is what they're calling them here, founding partners for that initial street race at Chicago. That is going to be a different model for that particular race because of the enormous cost of putting it on. And this is something that I think they're looking at, not just a one-time-off street race. I think NASCAR wants this to be something that becomes part of the NASCAR schedule in an ongoing basis. And so if they can get founding partners that, you know, support this race and then move on to maybe the next street race, whether it's Chicago or somewhere else. I think when they signed on with Chicago, though, it was for more than 1 year. I think it was multiple years, and I'm not sure if it's 2 or 3 years, but I don't think this is the last street race that we'll see at Chicago. There's just too much cost going into it for it to be a one-time deal. It's very similar to the Coliseum. It's more cost-effective for them to have multiple years than to have one. But again, they're going to need multiple founding partners in order to make this happen, and that's what they're looking at here. So, Jay, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, especially for, you mentioned it, not just the, and we, you're right, we did see it at the NASCAR top level with the overall title sponsor when that business model changed. Now with this race, this one in particular, because it is not a structured event, just like the Coliseum and the dirt Bristol race, although there it's just laying the dirt on top of it, but the, you still got to build it. Same with the Coliseum, and here at Chicago now, where they got to build that. And I don't know if then the investment in that, like you said, of if there's certain parts of it that, just like the Roval, they can invest in up front, and maybe the next years down the road won't cost as much, other than to lay it back out. I don't know, but that race in particular, to put it on because it's not in a facility already there, is taking that extreme. What did we say the other night? $50 million is what they're investing into it as a race. So yeah, you're right. One sponsor isn't going to sign on to cover that all. So they're asking for a piece of it from. I guess the target is four founding partners. And I think you're right. And I do believe, I thought so too, that when they announced it, it was already, initially already at Chicago for a multi-year. Might be mistaken on that. And I don't know if it was said 2 or 3 years, but it did say multi. That, though, the plan would be then to build it up, show how it works, hopefully to a good level. And just like with Bristol Dirt, the Coliseum, they're already trying to make improvements. I know we're going to a night race prime time as the next step for that one. But there may be some glitches in it and things to improve on, so that'll evolve. If you got the three-year period, say it's a three-year, you got that time to show that, then you sell it to other cities if that's what their intent is, a new market of, hey, we've improved upon it, we know we can do it, let's do it here. You know, and take it to that next one, or of other possible venues. So I think it's a good thing. You know, I know we talked about it in itself of concerns or things we're leery about with it.
Mm-hmm.
Got to give it a chance, and as well as more than just a one-time chance. You know, most things of nothing goes perfect the first time out. So if it's good and there's areas to improve, that's why they have it as a multi-year. You know, let them improve upon it.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree more with that. I'm one of the people that are a little bit skeptical, but I'm willing to wait and see what actually happens with the street race at Chicago. And I would just put that out there as a caution for all of the fans. Coliseum went really well. This year is going to be different because it's going to be a night race, and we'll see how that goes. But I give kudos to NASCAR for thinking out of the box and doing some different things. And as fans, I think we need to give them and allow them the time to evolve with some of these new ideas that they're bringing into racing. And I have to include myself in that as well. And I'm willing to do that. I want to give them the time to evolve on this. And it's never going to be perfect, especially the very first year that they do it. They're going to learn things from that first year experience, and they'll evolve and make it better the following year and the following year. So it's an ongoing process, whether it's a new venue like they're doing with Chicago, a whole new concept, or something like what they're doing out at L.A. Coliseum. So we just have to give them the time to allow that to happen. Started with the Roval, building a road course inside of an oval. It went on to putting dirt on the Bristol track and making that a Bristol dirt race. Now this year they did the L.A. Coliseum. Next year they're doing the street race. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in 2024 and with the schedule in 2024. But it seems like each year NASCAR is introducing something that's really new and an out-of-the-box kind of concept that they're willing to try and put out there for to attract some interest from fans. So it's going to be interesting, but I like what they're doing with this founding partners concept for sponsorship of this race, because it is a big costly event that they're doing, and it's going to be hopefully some great exposure for those founding partners with the street course race out in Chicago.
Well, and you admitted yours. I will say the Chicago street race is one of them I definitely was a little skeptical on. You mentioned the Roval, and that was one I would have had to said too. I was a little skeptical. We saw that there were some things that need to be changed and developed, and they have done so each and every year. I think back to even, and back then it was a 10-race chase for the championship. And I don't even think I was skeptical. I really think I was, if I recall correctly, I would have to say I was more against it. That is one of those now, though. This weekend, actually, I did see it. Somebody posted what it would have been the 2022 Winston Cup Championship if we were still using that old point system of where Chase Elliott would have won it by 60 points or something over Ross Chastain. And in my mind, on that one, I was just like, why are you even still going there? I know the first couple of years it was kind of interesting to look at how it would have played out differently.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, I mean, there is no point, in my opinion, no point to even going back to that, because it's
exactly.
Not going back to that.
Exactly. We're not playing under those rules.
Yeah. The now the race for the championship with the playoff format has produced exactly what NASCAR wanted. I think overall the fans are behind it, the drivers. There's some that maybe still feel, you know, like Kevin Harvick, his year of having the dominating regular season, but they know that going in, and it adds to it. It really does. I don't think any driver says they want to go back to that. They may still want to go back to some aspects of it, but they also like the advancement that we have when it comes to round-to-round, and they're all with it. So, yeah, I was surprised he's still tracking that.
Exactly. I have to agree with you there. Okay. Do we want to move on to another topic here? I'm going to make an announcement while you decide what our next topic is going to be.
All right.
We're at that time of the night where, for particularly our first-time listeners, if you're tuning in for the first time, you need to know we're going to go off the air at exactly 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, but we are going to continue our conversation past that time, and we will record that conversation as part of our bonus overtime material on our podcast. Now, I'll go out on Twitter as well as Facebook at Banff Racing Blog and Radio on Facebook and Banff Racing Site on Twitter just to let you know when that podcast is available. And at that point, you can go to the player at BanffRacing.com and just fast forward to the two-hour mark, and you can hear then the rest of the conversation as that bonus overtime material that I talked about. Again, we don't want anybody to be caught off guard and not know where they can go to hear the rest of that conversation, and that's why we make this announcement at this time every time we do a show. So, Jay, what's our next topic going to be?
Make sure I come off mute here. This one was on sportsnot.com. I know you. I heard you mention the not State of the Union, but NASCAR leadership addressed some things there in one of the press conferences, I believe on Friday. One that came out of this was NASCAR could possibly race internationally as early as 2024. And we've heard a couple of things kind of alluded to that. So it's on the radar and maybe even further along than what we know in the works. But so there is some interest in it as this interest in the sport rapidly increases.
Absolutely. And they've kind of leaked out earlier as well that we'll probably see, and it was part of that press conference that you mentioned with the leadership. We're probably going to see some of the biggest changes to the 2024 schedule when it comes out, and they have been preparing us for that. And international racing, that's the next big thing that's going to come. We talked about 2023 season being the street race at Chicago. In 2024, it's going to be an international race. And I don't know if it's one race international or more, but at least one race will be an international race on the schedule for that 2024 season. And I don't know, the last time they did that, again, there has to be an enormous cost to being able to do that. So preparing teams for that possibility right now, I think, is important, because you've got to take a whole race team internationally to be able to race. The cost of getting the cars over there, there's just so much cost that's involved with doing some of these out-of-the-box things that NASCAR is doing right now. But I am glad that they're doing something different every year that they're adding to the schedule that wasn't there before. So I don't know what comes after an international race, but I'm kind of excited to see that happen. I don't remember them. I know that they went to Japan at one point, and they've gone to Mexico. I've seen them go to Mexico. But I'm curious to know where that next international race, even Canada. We've done racing in Canada. But I think they're talking about something big, like what we did going to Japan a few years back. What are your thoughts? Do you think it's going to be more Canada or Mexico, or do you think it's going to be something bigger than that?
Well, you know, and that's what, as we were talking about it and even just thinking about it, when we first thinking internationally, I know it was kind of implied of overseas. I believe Europe was kind of the target, but Canada or Mexico would qualify. And I don't, did the Cup Series run in Mexico, or is that just the Xfinity Series?
Yeah, I can't remember right offhand. I'd have to do some research on that to give you a good answer.
I think that was Xfinity Series. The Truck Series ran Canada, Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. And then the Cup Series, it was a three-year deal over in Japan. And I know that was an exhibition at the end of the year after the season. To do it during the season, I am for it if they have a plan and the money to support it. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see a lot of things, though. But the cost we're talking about with the Coliseum, Bristol, or the street course is going to be nothing compared to what it does of – and I'm trying to remember the numbers that I remember from the Japan race, because of how far ahead they got to ship those cars, that they crate them over there. And that wasn't the entire entire field of a points race where everybody had to go over. That was an exhibition race, and so it was a select few. I don't remember how the teams got selected for that, but it wasn't the entire field for a points race. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that. If they have a way and they think they can make it work, I am all for it. And I'm hoping Fan for Racing then will choose somebody to send over there to cover it. Just thought I'd throw that out there. you'd be like, yeah, I'm sending myself, right, Sharon?
Right, if I'm going to send anybody.
We drew straws. Everybody else drew a short one, just to let you know. It would be interesting. I think there's several great possibilities if they could do it, say, in conjunction with Le Mans or something like that, of make it a viable pot worth obtaining, that they can disperse to the teams. Because I think that might be one where they got to disperse to the teams that one race, not just, for the year. I know each race gets their own purse, but that one might take a little bit more of, hey, we're going to build a pot and split it up for that one race and still do, you know, the championship money and everything else. Because, yeah, that one's going to be costly.
Yeah, it is. We think we're talking big bucks for that road course race. It is going to be enormous when you're talking about going internationally. And I got to wonder, too, if they aren't going to do some things like, you know, and we've seen this in the past. It's not something new where, you know, the same weekend that NASCAR is racing, there's an IndyCar race at that track. Or like what they used to do at Chicagoland is the Cup Series would be there one week, and the next week it would be IndyCar. I wonder if they'll be doing anything like that to really create some interest around this international idea as well. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait to see what that 24 schedule looks like.
Well, and that's why, and I'm trying to, off the top of my head, I don't know when the Le Mans is scheduled. Like I said, that would be my thought, would be partnering up with them on that weekend to make it even that much bigger, and then them splitting the pot with it. We'll have to wait and see, but I know that, and I think it was Ben Kennedy when you said, so kind of let that slip, that that was definitely one of their focuses, even talking about the 23 schedule, but obviously that one, you need that full year plus. And again, I'm sure securing some partnerships and sponsorship with that goes a long way, because like you said, the price tag on it's going to be big. But I'm with you. I like the fact that NASCAR is trying. It's expanding that fan base. So if they can make it work, I'm all for it.
Absolutely. Even our show, by the way, Jay. I do see that we get some international listens from Australia and from, you know, European countries, Canada, Mexico. We get listens from all over the world as well here on our Fan for Racing radio show. So I think that's going to be kind of a cool connection. If we do go overseas or anywhere internationally, you know, to introduce that to some of the people that listen even to our show, not to mention all of the other podcasts and shows that are out there, I think it's going to be a neat connection that's made through social media, through podcasts like ours and other mediums that kind of make the world just a little bit smaller, if you will.
Most certainly, and I think that's a great thing for that expansion. I know we've had several drivers, Juan Pablo from Bogota, Colombia. I want to say Daniel Suarez is from Mexico City or somewhere around that area if he's not. So we have that, and we've seen the following that Daniel Suarez has. So as we grow that, I think that'll increase with drivers as well.
Absolutely, and there's a Mexican driver right now in the I've seen him race now in the last two ARCA West races that I think we need to keep our eye on because he's been pretty impressive. I think he's had second and third place finishes between Las Vegas and the race at Phoenix. So I can't wait to see if he comes back and races full time for next season. So it even goes, you know, to the lower levels of racing.
Yeah, I was going to pull that up real quick. I know La Paz, I believe, is the last name, if I'm not mistaken. I was going to pull that up real quick. And you're right, his finishes have been outstanding as far as that in the three races or two or three races he's done. But I'll pull that up here. Let's see. Where was the results under that?
Yeah, his name is Andres Perez de Lara.
De Lara, okay. There we go, Andres de Lara.
Yeah, Andres Perez de Lara. And I think he's been pretty impressive so far in what I'm seeing him race in. He's in good equipment. He's racing in that number 51 car, but it's a Ford. But he's done really well in that car and the ARCA Menards series, and particularly particularly the ARCA West. So, and those are two big races for the drivers from Mexico to kind of test the water a little bit, if you will, on whether or not they can be competitive for next season. So I think that's a good sign that we may see more of this particular driver in the coming year.
Most certainly, I would have to agree with that.
Okay. Excuse me, I've had a very long day and starting to get tired here. What's our next hot topic here?
Well, we got two of them listed. I think we can tie together because I found out they're kind of interrelated. We were talking about minority drivers. Rev Racing is moving to the Truck Series in 2023 with Nick Sanchez was the first one I posted. And then we got the announcement from Kyle Busch Motorsports, which is going to switch into Chevy. It's only going to be two trucks, one full-time with Chase Purdy, Kyle Busch and others, and I want to say Jack Wood is going to be one of the drivers, along with Kyle Busch, splitting time as they have in the 51. And then it will have a technical alliance with Rev Racing as they build and move forward as well. So kind of dropping from a four truck team to a two truck, but also having the partnership with Rev Racing kind of gives it the third feel.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We know Kyle Busch is a good mentor for a lot of these drivers, and I'm so happy that Chase Purdy is getting this opportunity with Kyle Busch Motorsports. Now with Chevy versus Toyota and getting an opportunity to have that mentorship from Kyle Busch. And same thing with Rev Racing, the fact that they're going to have that technical alliance with Rev Racing and KBM, I think is going to be huge for Rev Racing as well. This is their kind of premier or inaugural year coming up into the truck series, Rev Racing, and they're coming up with Nick Sanchez, who was the ARCA Menard Series champion. I think it's fantastic that they're getting this opportunity to race in the Truck Series. I'm real happy for Kyle Busch Motorsports as well. I can't wait to see. They said it would be select other Xfinity Series and Cup Series drivers that will be completing out that 51 truck for KBM. Right now, you mentioned Jack Wood. He's scheduled for 10 specific races in that season. Kyle Busch will be racing five of those races, I guess. And that's kind of interesting because I thought Kyle Busch wasn't going to come back to the Truck Series, but it sounds like he is now with some of those races. And I think they're allowed five races, so that's 15 of the races that are accounted for, but they'll have select other drivers from the Xfinity and Cup Series to kind of fill out that schedule because he wants to run for the owner's championship with that number 51 truck in the series for next season. So, again, happy to see things shaping up for Kyle Busch Motorsports under the Chevrolet banner now that he's with RCR. And I can't wait to see what they do next season.
Well, I will throw this out there before any of the Kyle Busch haters want to jump on that. He said he would stop racing in the series when he hit 100 wins. He did that in the Xfinity Series. He only has, I think, I want to say like 58 in the Truck Series. All-time leader in the Truck Series, but he has not hit the 100 mark. And at five races per year, he can run another 10 races or 10 years there. So he is not going against his word there.
thank you for that clarification.
Yep. The other thing, you mentioned the owner's championship, and I'm not going to speak for Kyle, but I can only imagine he has some things to prove with Toyota. I believe the team, Kyle Busch Motorsports, has like 98 victories, and I might be a little off. I don't have the numbers with me. I saw it on Race Hub yesterday, I believe, but 98 victories, 15 owner's championships, and two or three championships. And the reason that kind of stuck out in my mind was I knew they had, you know, gotten the owner's champion quite a few years, but the driver's championship. And that brings me to Chase Purdy. And here's the thing on my take, and I was waiting to see if Mike had replied on that one. I don't think he did. KBM has known to bring in some young drivers, and Kyle has been a little critical of them. Chase Purdy is still relatively young, however, has been in some full-time rides, as you mentioned, for whatever reason, because I think he is a great driver. You know, I know him from down here. He comes out of Meridian, Mississippi, and I actually talked to him. I think that was the ARCA, might have been Can-Am still
on the
at
show.
That time. Yep, and I sat and talked with him at Memphis when they were still running Memphis, and I covered the Can-Am Pro Series East race there for Fan for Racing. So he is one I think is just kind of like, I think of a couple others, Daniel Hemric, even Ross Chastain, finding that right spot, just all the right combination. And for the fact of Kyle Busch to take him as a not a young, new, inexperienced driver to mold, but one that he must see talent in because he knows he's already been there. So he can't say, hey, I'm trying to pull a winner because he hasn't won yet, but sees the talent in him and willing to take that on him as his full-time driver. So I am excited for that. I'm still excited for Jack Wood. Unfortunately, he has gone from full-time to a part-time, but running in the truck that Kyle Busch also runs, I think you're going to learn some things. I'll tell you that. So, and we know that this was a late switch for Kyle Busch to put together this Chevy deal. I think eventually down the road, we see them go back to a full four truck team under his own banner. That's just what I see. It just wasn't able to happen in a span of what, 6 months from what we officially got.
Exactly.
To switch over to Chevy and redo everything. And I know I can hear, we talked about this. Several of the sponsors that were with are Toyota sponsors. We saw some of them announced with Tricon Garage, JBL, and Safelite, staying with Toyota. Okay, so Kyle Busch has to come with new sponsors, so that's going to take a little bit of time. So, like I said, I think down the road, we see them build back up to what they were under the Toyota banner, now under the Chevy. Like I said, the technical alliance with Rev Racing, you mentioned it. I fully expected Nick Sanchez to be moving up. I am happy to see that Rev Racing is doing it with them. I didn't know if Rev Racing would ever take that step up. They've always been in the ARCA Menards and then the ARCA Menards East Series primarily. So to see Rev Racing taking that step, I like that.
I do too. Yeah, I like that a lot as well. And I think it's going to be very reciprocal in that relationship. I think that they're going to, you know, Kyle Busch is kind of in a rebuilding stage here. And, you know, having that technical alliance with Rev Racing, I think, is going to be something that's going to benefit both organizations. And, again, same thing with Chase Purdy and Jack Wood. I'm really excited about those two drivers racing at Kyle Busch Motorsports. And I think that we're going to see really good results from them. You're right. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting that opportunity to be with a good team that can showcase a driver. Look how many years Ross Chastain was running with JD Motorsports. And I think it was Johnny Davis who told him, you need to get out there and get in these, into some other cars so that people can see the talent that you have. And that was really great advice from Johnny Davis to Ross Chastain. And you and I both remember watching him race every single race in the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Cup Series every single weekend. And look at how that paid off for him.
Came really close to a championship. I don't know which is more valuable, the NASCAR championship or the superstar he has become. They said today it has over 100 million social media views total for the Martinsville move there. So they were joking about that. If he can't go out to, I think it was at the truck race he went to, He can't walk around indiscreetly anymore, for sure.
Well, and I'm wondering, too, if he's going to give Chase Elliott a run for that Most Popular Driver award.
I did see somebody bring that up on Twitter. It's interesting. I'd have to stick with Mike on this one. I think Chase Elliott fans are still there, but it certainly could be maybe closer than we expect following that weekend, for sure. So we'll have to wait and see. I don't know when the voting opens on that, but that'll be coming up here with their awards banquet coming in December.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the truck series. That's another one. I'd just like to see it. Chevrolet taking the investment into Kyle Busch Motorsports. Like I said, I think he's going to have some things to prove. It's going to have to take starting back two trucks in this case. But I think he's going to throw everything he can at it. I don't know how I know when he was talking about his contract for himself and everything, he said that was a primary concern to him was. So I don't know how that shifted from four trucks to two within his shop, but I'm sure he's doing the best he can. And there again, maybe that's where some of that alliance is going with Rev Racing. That was a primary concern to him. So it's good to see that come to fruition. I'm excited for that. Not that it takes much to get more interested in the truck series, as you and I talk about, that generally week in and week out might be the best racing and exciting racing. So we'll see how that goes. And Nick Sanchez, like I said, him and we still got some other names that Ty Gibbs hasn't officially been announced for anything. John Hunter Nemechek and Sammy Smith is another one. We saw that in the Xfinity race this weekend. He was one that was in there with those championship contenders until the end, mixing it up. So I think we got big things to look forward all the way across the board for next year.
We definitely do. And as usual, I'm already excited about next season, and we haven't even well, I guess we have kind of closed out this season now. But there's a lot to look forward to. I think the sport is very healthy, and I think NASCAR is doing some really great things to keep it in a healthy way and attracting new fans. Ross Chastain is a big part of that with what he did out in Martinsville. The Martinsville Miracle, that was one of the ones that I was kind of voting for what they were going to call that. But, yeah, I think Ross Chastain's Martinsville Miracle is one of the things that is going to be talked about for a long, long time. And a lot of new fans who saw that move on their news or wherever they saw it in the many times that it was broadcast since Martinsville, I think that he's definitely bringing new fans into the sport. And I don't think he's going to have to take away any fans from Chase Elliott. I think it's all these new fans that he's bringing into the sport that are going to maybe help him go after that Most Popular Driver award.
Most certainly. You're right. I do think that was, I mean, as a sport, everybody had to be a fan of it, other than those drivers that got beat by it. But And there again, to settle that whole thing, I saw another interview with him pre-race. He said, hey, if anybody else wants to try it, you go right ahead, because he's like, I don't think I'd do it again.
Exactly.
Did you see the mathematics that they did on it? I know Mike had one of the formulas, but when they compared it, he pulled 5.6 Gs. The space shuttle, when it launches, only pulls 3 Gs.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, I don't think you're going to see people doing that on a weekly basis. I don't think we have to worry about that.
Well, and we said that right from the very beginning. You know, and I thought Dave Moody had the best response when he said, if you don't think it's safe, if you think it's dangerous, if you don't think it should be done, don't do it. It's as simple as that. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I don't think a lot of drivers are going to do it. Somebody said that, I think it was Noah Gregson, said that they kind of, it crossed their mind, but they didn't think that they could really make it happen, so they didn't do it. And they showed some of the differences in the Phoenix track how it differs from the wall at the Martinsville, and how much more difficult it would be to do that move at Phoenix than what it was to do at Martinsville. But yeah, Ross Chastain said, I don't think I'll be ever doing that again. It wasn't a fun ride. It wasn't something that felt good, and not something that he wants to do again. So I think it's going to take care of itself.
And I said this when Mike brought it up of, you know, and Mike wasn't the only one. I saw a lot of people expressing concerns, including a couple of drivers, but it was the perfect storm. He needed, what, two positions? He was far enough back. The lane was open on the top side of the track. You know, you got to be in the right position and have the right gain for the risk, you know, risk versus reward. And it was there to take it. You know, you're not going to necessarily have that every time. So, yeah, that's what I said. And I think NASCAR said the same thing. They said, at this point, we're not going to even attempt to try to make a rule about something. We're not sure we still even understand that it was even possible. So,
exactly. And I don't think it's necessary. I really don't, because I don't think many drivers would have had the guts to do what Ross Chastain did. And it, like we've heard so many times, people have tried it, but nobody's done it successfully until Ross Chastain. That's how difficult that move is. So he had the perfect conditions. And that's what it's going to take in order to make that move work, is the perfect conditions. But now that everybody's seen that move actually be successful, the whole concept of all the what-ifs that everybody likes to kind of put into the equation here is something that people have to kind of keep in mind, too. If you see it as a what-if, it potentially could happen if people know that that move is a potential possibility at Martinsville. Those drivers that are driving in that bottom or middle lane are going to be watching that, and you don't want to drive up in front of that car if that car is coming around at those kind of speeds. I think that would be foolish for anybody try to do that.
Even just listening to Ross Chastain saying he wouldn't do it again, based on it wasn't just a crash, it was one long crash, you know, and whatever of, you know, do you really want to go through that? Like you said, of everything has to be aligned just perfectly for it to even work. I just didn't understand the spin up about it. It was great for what it was, but that's one of those things you can't even probably possibly duplicate. And if the guy that did it said, I ain't doing it again, you know, I mean, that tells you.
That tells you something right there. That is exactly right. So, okay, we got a little off track there, but I thought it was a good discussion.
Well, and the only other one, and I think we could probably close with this if you want, if you know what I'm referring to here with Joe Gibbs.
Yeah. We can do that. I'm going to include the Nick Sanchez to Rev Racing in here, too. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and set it up, Jay?
If fans don't know, Saturday night into Sunday morning, Joe Gibbs Racing put up the announcement or post here. It is with great sorrow that Joe Gibbs Racing confirms that Coy Gibbs, who's a co-owner, went to be with the Lord in his sleep last night. The family appreciates all the thoughts, prayers, and asks for privacy at this time. I know I saw one article I read that we talked about. We don't know a lot, but we do send our prayers, thoughts, and prayers. Ty Gibbs didn't run on Sunday as he went home to be with the family. And that entire garage raced with a heavy heart on Sunday with that. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. It was quite a shock. You know, we saw Coy celebrating with his family when Ty Gibbs won the championship. And to imagine that just a few hours later he had passed away in his sleep, was quite a shock to everybody, I think, when we heard the news. At first, we just heard that Ty had a family emergency and would not be racing, and so they were putting someone else into the car. And then when we did find out just before the Cup Series race started on Sunday, it was shocking. And our thoughts and condolences, I mentioned this earlier in the show, but I'll mention it again. Our thoughts and condolences are certainly with the Gibbs family and the race team and everybody that is experiencing this loss. We're praying for you, and we're deeply saddened at the news. So our condolences go out to everybody involved.
The only thing I'd add there, and I know I think it was Dale Earnhardt Jr. when they talked to him about it, they're competitors on the track. But when something like this comes, you put all of that aside. It was Daniel Hemric, a former Joe Gibbs racer that had left to go to Chevy with Colleg Racing. That's who's went into that Toyota team when Ty Gibbs came out. You know, I thought that was exactly what Dale Jr. was talking about. When it comes down to it, the garage is going to come together in support of the family at a time like that. And so I thought that was a huge move, the fact that it was a Chevy driver that went into that Toyota.
Yes, and I really think it's wonderful. It is a community. It's a traveling community that goes to all these different tracks throughout the season, but they become – they're a NASCAR family, you know, when things like this happen, they all pull together, and they are quite a supportive group of people, and I think that's, it's wonderful to see that happening. I can't imagine what Ty and his family are going through, what Joe Gibbs is going through with this loss, and I do pray for them. That they can find peace with all of this, and as sad as it is, I hope they're able to find peace.
Well, we know the faith of that family, so I know they will come together, not just, as you said, the family, immediate family, but also the NASCAR family, the community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, we'll go ahead and close out the show with that. And again, we are looking at doing a one-off show in early December, so stay tuned for any news about that. It'll be after the Snowball Derby and the Snowflake 100. Sal was giving us a bunch of the drivers that have already, it's not on the entry list yet, but he knows of all these other drivers that are planning to take part in that event this year. So I can't wait to see the entry list as it continues to grow for the Snowball Derby and for us to all get together one last time this year in early December to kind of review that race and to do another Hot Topic sound-off with the rest of our Fan for Racing crew. So, again, stay tuned for more news on that front. And, Jay, are you going to be at any racetracks this week?
Well, weather permitting, I'm going to be, I think, in Lexington, Alabama, as soon as I find out where that is, at a motocross. I've been doing some motocross stuff with a friend from Tennessee. So that's the plans. We'll see what happens, though, throughout the week leading into that. And I look forward to we get together again, you mentioned, for the Snowball Derby or another hot mid-off-season Hot Topics recap. So until then, you can follow me, though, on Facebook, Michael Hoosman, MoparMJ8 on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, you can see I had to post that Andy Lasky won the Truck Series Fantasy Battle as well as the Xfinity.
Wow.
I did tie with Mike on the Cup one and won by a tiebreaker, in which case I know Andy took the overall. So Andy thumped us this year.
Okay, yeah, Andy did really good in the Truck and Xfinity series. And I'm looking at, oh, that's the overall. Okay, so I wanted to see what it was for the Xfinity final standings. That was for the trucks. I saw that one. Did you put up a chart for the Xfinity or the Cup Series yet?
The Xfinity, yeah. He nudged Brian out by 2 points.
Wow. That's amazing. So, anyway, thank you for doing that, Jay. I know it's a lot of work, and you do such a great job staying on top of all of us to make sure we get our picks in before the race starts. Did Brian get his pick in this week?
He did not, and I didn't get a chance to get back with him. I did look at it. Even if he had last pick, even if he'd have picked the first driver not already picked, he would have ended up a point. Me and Mike would have still been tied. Brian would have been, I think, like third, 2 points behind us. So it didn't affect actually the winning. I think Brian did maybe drop a spot or two. So I don't know if he knew that going into it, but yeah, he could have gained a spot or two, but it was still between Mike and I, and it came down to that tiebreaker. As far as throughout the year, I think I had 4 actual race winners picked, and Mike had 2, so that was our tiebreaker in it.
Wow. Well, again, it's always a lot of fun. It brings a new dimension to watching the races. I in the NASCAR app, I always star the race picks for the drivers so I can keep an eye on where I am in comparison with everybody else's pick throughout the race. So it's been a lot of fun. And congratulations to Andy. And who won in the Cup Series?
The Cup Series is where me and Mike tied, and then Andy took the other two, the Xfinity and trucks, and the overall.
Okay.
That was, yeah. So he took the 2 of the series and then the overall. Mike and I will just have to settle for the tie. And I know he's not going to be happy. I was kind of hoping he'd be on tonight, but.
Well, it is what it is, right? Okay,
yes,
am Fan for Racing site on Twitter, Fan for Racing blog and radio everywhere else, including our website, fanforracing.com, where we have our player for the Fan for Racing radio show. So we appreciate everybody for tuning in, whether it's the live broadcast or the podcast, and we hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoy doing it. And then, of course, to Sal Segala and Jay Huseman, our co-hosts for the season. Both of them were on for tonight and helped make this show happen tonight. So I appreciate everything that you guys do. And Jay, for what you do with the Fan for Racing Fantasy Group that we do every year. We have a lot of fun with it, and we appreciate the extra effort that you put into it. So thank you.
You're welcome. That's not a problem.
Okay, so watch for us to come back sometime early December, and with that, I guess we'll call it a night here on Fan for Racing Radio.
A night and a season, but like you said, we'll come back with a little bit during the off season until we get back in February for Daytona.
Absolutely. Good night, everybody.